This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you in 2021 for the first time. Happy and blessed New Year to everyone listening on 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio, and anyone listening on our podcast, website, wherever you are listening to Faith on a Field Show, happy and blessed 2021 to you. It's a new year.
Hallelujah.
2020 is over, finally, for so many of you. I know it's been a challenging year. It's been a tough year. You persevered. Many have lost loved ones, and we will always pray for you and pray for comfort for you. And many have lost jobs. Many have lost so much in 2020. But if you made it to 2021, it is a new year. It is time for you to look ahead, not look in the past. And I hope that this can be the best year yet for everyone out there. Our guest this week is, he was a longtime football coach across the NFL, college football, XFL, CFL, June Jones, and he's going to be joining us in a little bit shortly. He's got an incredible story. So he's going to talk a lot of football, but he's got an incredible story where he overcame, he was in a car accident that he said he should have died. He basically should have been dead, his aorta and everything else that happened, but he was spared. And it's a really incredible story. And he talked about Philippians 4:6-7, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but it is a new year and there's a lot of exciting things going on. And you have put out and put together a very, it's a new apparel store.
Yeah, it's
called 828 Threads.
I'm so excited, mainly because it was such a challenge for me. I had no idea how to do any of this. I didn't know where to start. I just knew that God put this on my heart where I wanted to design some t-shirts and some mugs and some cool stuff for people out there to just, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm not the best designer out there, but I just use whatever God gives me, whatever I feel inspired by. Like if I get inspired by a passage or by a sermon or something, I just use that. And yeah, it's been fun. And it's actually, we should explain why it's called 828.
It's awesome. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. Explain why it's called 828, because we took it from Romans 8:28.
Right.
And which says,
and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So in all things, God works everything out for your good. And that's exactly how I felt throughout the process. I just felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue what's going on. But I was just so inspired by that verse that I decided it's going to be called 828 because, well,
it's a Hall of Fame verse.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And God did work it out for my good. You know, it's up and running. Hallelujah.
I think it's such a fitting verse for 2020 because, yeah, there's so much that happened, right? And as we turn the page to 2021 and we look at those words right there, God works in everything, right? God works everything for our good. And you say, well, how can a pandemic work for our good? There's something that you can take out of it.
Yeah.
That whether it was spiritual growth, whether it was more time with your family, whether it was for so many out there who learned to work from home and businesses may be transformed in the future. So much that we can look at and go, there is something that we can take out of this that will work for our good. And when we look at that phrase and we look at that Bible verse, God works in everything, in everything. He's not just working in a couple things, in an incident here, an incident there for our good. And it doesn't mean that what happens to us is good. It doesn't mean that at all. That Bible verse does not mean that something that happens to you that's evil is good, because evil is evil, bad is bad, and there's so much evil that's prevalent in a world that's fallen, in a world that's sinful. But God is still able to turn every circumstance, whatever it may be, around for our long-range good. Yeah. A lot of times we're short-term thinkers, but he changes it into something good long-term. Mm-hmm. So God's not working to make us happy to fulfill his purpose. He's calling on us for those who have been called to serve his purpose. The promise is, it's not for everybody. Yeah. This promise isn't for everybody. It's not for the unbeliever. This promise of God working for your good is not for the unbeliever. It's for the believers. And it can be claimed by those of us who love God and are called by him, and those who receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think it's just sometimes we wonder, what could possibly God do with whatever is left? What could he do with whatever we have, like the mess we have right now? What mm-hmm. could he possibly do? And I'm a cook, and I love me some leftovers, okay? So I think God loves leftovers too, because he takes the leftovers and makes a whole meal. Just like with the, you know, with the story with the fishes and the, yeah. And the loaves. He took the little and made a lot. He loves leftovers. He loves the little. He doesn't see little as little. He sees it as a lot. You know, a couple of days ago, I was just praying, and I'm trying to just do this. I've been doing it a lot, but like lately, I just take at least 7 minutes to just sit there, close my eyes, and meditate.
Seven?
Yeah.
You picked that number? Okay.
Yeah. Just mm-hmm. 7 minutes, because I think if you just pick 7 minutes out of your day and just shut everything down, shut your eyes, and just really focus on Jesus, he will speak to you. And a couple of days ago, I was just praying, and I just saw Jesus put a blindfold on my eyes. Mm. And then he goes, I need you to not see with your natural eyes right now. I need you to see with your spiritual eyes, and just look ahead with your spiritual eyes. And for that, I was just like, whoa, what was that? That was so cool. But I think in this coming season, this year, in this new year, we really need to stop looking with our natural eyes at what's around us and look with our spiritual eyes what God is trying to do.
It's good.
What Jesus is trying to do through us and with us. Because as we saw 2020, what we saw with our own eyes was horrific. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was so sad, so scary. And we don't know what we see with the evidence that we see with our eyes are really scary. But if we put a blindfold on our eyes and just see with our spiritual eye what God is really trying to do and what he does with the leftovers, I think he's going to do great things. And mm-hmm. if we just keep our focus on him, our spirits, not our eyes, our physical eyes, but our spirit's eyes, we need to see with our Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And if we get to see with that, we will see that he's doing great things. And you know what? Maybe we needed that deconstruction of everything.
Oh, we talked about that so much while it was happening. Right.
We need a deconstruction of everything. Sometimes you just, when you're, you know what? Have you ever had this deconstructed sandwich? It's good. It's still good. You know what I'm saying? I always refer to food because I love
when
it.
When it falls apart?
Yeah, when it falls apart, yeah, you're like, oh, this is yummy. Again.
It happens every time I make one of those those chicken wraps. That,
right. Yeah. Oh, you're a master of deconstructed wraps.
It falls apart on me all the time.
Yeah.
So I still eat it. And it's still good?
Yeah. I think he needed to deconstruct things in our lives and just take the shells off and just show us what really is really important. Because if you think about it, the leftover is still good. You know, once he took everything off, the leftover is still good. The leftover was this: family first, God first. You know, God in everything. Family first. Prioritize your time in such a way that you put him and your family first, not your money, not your anything, and your health.
Not your entertainment value, not your worldly value, and not all that. And we all needed to learn that lesson. I know I needed to learn that lesson.
Me too.
I know I needed to step back and
focus
and really just examine and prioritize how much time I was spending working, how much time I was spending into so many various projects, how much time I was putting into everything that I was trying to do, that I would tell myself, well, this is for the benefit of my family.
Right.
But sometimes you have to be where, and I heard this phrase last week from a Eagles player, Jordan Mailata, who was a former rugby player and now he plays for the Eagles, and he's an offensive lineman, and he talked about, it's a phrase that they use in the team, be where your feet are at.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, man, that's so good. Okay. That was the same day Jalen Hurts referred to stay away from the rat poison. Yeah. And Jordan Mailata said, be where your feet are at. And I'm like, how often have I not been where my feet are at? My feet are here. My feet are home. But I'm not. My mind is not. My mind is somewhere else. You got to focusing on the moment, living in the moment. And we just mentioned 8-2 Threads Apparel. We didn't tell everybody where they can go to get it. You can check it out on any of our social media, especially Remy's. But to make it even easier, we have it on faithonafieldshow.com and just click on the merch tab. And some of these designs, you've all seen My Story, His Glory, the t-shirt that I wear all the time. You can now get it there. Yeah. You just designed a Holy Spirit and coffee filled mug, which is beautiful.
Who wouldn't love that, right?
I love that. Yeah. There's t-shirts, there's long sleeve shirts, there's mugs, there's hoodies, there's all kinds of things. And each one of them has, this one I'm excited to debut. I haven't picked it up myself yet. I wear the helmet of salvation.
Yes.
And that one is, I love that. And I can't wait to rock that one. Also, you have Faith is Greater Than Fear. Some shirts that just say Jesus on them. Mm-hmm. We can never have enough. A Jesus is my best friend, a Faith Family Football. And now I'm excited about this because I just got it. Mm-hmm. That He is Greater Than Me, the John 3:30.
Yeah,
He must increase and I must decrease. So very exciting. You could check it all out.
There's some leggings and some things.
We talk about taking Faith on the Field Show to new levels. And that's our goal in 2021 as we grew in 2020 into the Florida market as we are now on 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee, but our goal is to be on a sports radio station in each state. And by going to our merchandise store, Remy's merchandise store, 828 Threads, and checking that out, and any of those items you purchase, a portion of the proceeds will help Faith on the Field's ministry. So that's going to be really cool, really awesome. Now, we want to talk about Philippians 4:6-7, because June Jones is going to bring it up in our conversation. Mm-hmm. And Philippians 4:6-7 is written, Paul, who wrote so many, 13 books in the New Testament,
he wrote
Philippians. I love reading in Philippians, and Philippians 4:13 is often one of those that is so quoted, for I could do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Mm-hmm. But if we go back, the entire chapter, now, let's go to 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Mm-hmm. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I read that from the NLT version.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Yeah. And obviously, a new year means resolutions for so many people. And I think if I could just narrow down the focus of a resolution, how often do we worry about so much? We all do. Yeah. It's human nature. Yeah. And then think about it. What exactly does worry accomplish? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
What can be gained from worry?
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. We can be anxious, we become fearful, we become scared, we may lose sleep, it may lead to deteriorating health. There's so much negative that can be taken from worry. Mm-hmm. But what positive is accomplished by an ounce of worry? Nothing. So if we take what Paul is telling us here, and instead of worrying about something, worry less and pray more.
I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like if I don't have prayers, like if that was not part of the Bible, I don't know what I would be. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. Praying to me is everything. Praying to me, I was thinking about this the other day and I'm like, I literally run to God in prayers for everything and anything. Like the smallest little details, I run to Him in prayers.
And He wants that.
And mm-hmm. and shockingly, I mean, I shouldn't say shockingly, but He really does reply in most interesting ways. And He does answer the prayers always in the most interesting ways. Sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a maybe, sometimes it's a yes. But mm-hmm. He does answer your prayers all the time. And I want to say this, prayer is an action word. So you can't just say to somebody, "I'll pray about it," or, you know, like, it's an action word. You don't just, it's not a thought, it's not a feeling, it's an action. So it requires your mouth to move. It requires your hand to write something down. It's an action word. I'm a believer of action, because if you don't, if there is no action, there is no reaction. So if I just sit there, sit still, and just pretend that I'm praying or just think about it, I don't think that does anything. I think you have to open your mouth and proclaim things and say things out loud, and actually and penetrate the air around you and say it out loud and believe that you're that God is really listening to you. And you have to actually engage in prayers. And in engaging, meaning you have to say it out loud. You got to write it. Got write your prayers. Sometimes you got to sing your prayers. Sometimes worshiping is a form of prayer. you gotta do something, is what I'm getting at. You have to take an action to get a reaction. Mm-hmm. You can't be passive. You can't just say. And also, another part of prayer is the other part of action is that you have to do something about what you're praying about.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, my kids are wild now, I can't deal with this, and then all day long you're just running around screaming at them. You know, so you gotta believe in your own prayers as well. You gotta believe what you're praying about and actually be what you're praying about. So if you're praying for your children to be awesome and quiet and more obedient or whatever it is, you actually yourself have to be that to them. So I'm also preaching myself, because sometimes I'm like wilding out. You know what I'm saying? You're looking at me like, yeah.
No.
Okay. You know, like, you know, no, I'm saying something.
I
mean, we've been going crazy because we've been in each other's faces for like months now. You know?
Yeah, but it's.
But I pray about it.
You're doing a great job with it. We're doing it.
Sometimes it's challenging.
The kids are stuck at home. It's cold. They're doing virtual school. Yeah. They're off from school for Christmas week, and you know, sometimes they get irritated with each other. But at the end of the day, they can't even. They're inseparable. They don't even want to be.
Know.
You know, they don't want to be apart. So as we look at resolutions for 2021, I go, I don't know if there can be one that is so wide ranging. That can apply to so many of us, then worry less, pray more.
Yeah.
Worry less, pray more. Yeah. I know I need to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to do it. I hope to do it. And whenever I start to worry about any little thing, I hope to just stop and pray. Stop and pray.
Get yourself a prayer box.
And then
yeah.
I love what you do with the prayer box by writing things out and putting it in there.
Yeah.
The Philippians 4:7 part, now, after he says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God's peace is so much different than the world's idea of peace. See, true peace, some people think, I have peace because I'm a positive thinker. I'm a positive thinker. Even the most positive thinker.
I'm a positive thinker. I get worried.
We'll allow worry to creep in or we'll allow negativity to creep in. It's great to be a positive thinker, and I'm not saying otherwise, but I'm telling you the idea of a positive thinker is a worldly value where this is great. And so, you know, you got all these positive thinking, motivational speakers out there, and they do a great job, and I love it. But if you're a positive thinker with the absence of the peace from Christ, you will at some point fall into the negative trap.
Right.
But what Paul is saying, God's peace is so different than the world's peace, because once we know that our peace comes from God, once we know that we are secure in the kingdom, then we can allow God's peace to guard our heart against all worry, against all anxiety.
That's right.
I know you wanted to touch quickly on Philippians 4:8, and what that says, right after is, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise.
Do you know how hard that is? You know how hard that is? Because
yes.
We get millions of thoughts a day. I mean, it's not just any, it's millions. You know, it's not one or two. It's millions of thoughts a day. And he's saying, fix your thoughts on holy, pure, amazing, beautiful, positive things. And so do you know what that means? It means that you literally have to catch every bad thought captive and say, boom, you're out. I'm casting you out. Every single negative thought, even if it's true. So if something bad is happening around you and the thought is going, well, this is bad, this is happening, cast that thought out and say, you're done. You don't belong here. Because every single thought that you think about, it actually takes a place, a physical place in your mind. And then it develops into something else, and more thoughts come into from that, and then and on and on and on. Have you ever saw something happen to you, like, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, a lot of bad things are already happening because you harbored that thought. You actually like impregnated that thought. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, don't do that. Basically, don't do that.
I'll sum it up with this sentence: what we put into our mind determines what comes out. Mm-hmm. In our words and in our actions. What we allow to penetrate our mind is going to come out in
your
our words
become things.
And our actions. Worry less, pray more.
That's
up next, you'll hear longtime football coach June Jones. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia, with NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields. Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show. Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you are tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every show since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list, we'll send you each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Mahdi on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. At Real Rob Mahdi on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Mahdi on all of her platforms. We'll let you know about some of the speaking appearances, other events that we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages and interviews also. June Jones is a former NFL quarterback and a longtime coach spanning four decades, he's been a head coach in college football, the NFL, CFL, XFL. He was with the Falcons and Chargers in the NFL, Hawaii and SMU in college, Hamilton in the Canadian Football League, Houston in the XFL. In 2001, June Jones survived a car accident that he said should have killed him, but his life was spared. So he'll explain that and much more. Here is June Jones.
June, your football career spanned several decades. You played for the Falcons in the late 70s. You coached both in the NFL. You coached in college, the XFL. I wonder, from your perspective, what do you see is the biggest difference in today's game from the time you were a quarterback?
The biggest difference I see is just how the passing game has taken off. You know, When we first ran four wides in the National Football League for the first time, really, nobody else was doing it in 1987 with Jerry Glanville and a few others. I mean, everybody thought we were communists, basically. And now everybody is running four wides, five wides, three wides and a tight end. They're doing it all. And I think the rules in particular have the offenses have benefited the most, obviously, with the no touch past 5 yards. Although you can see late in the season, they're certainly not calling it like they did early in the season. They kind of let them play a little bit more.
As such, do you think the numbers the quarterbacks are putting up are a little skewed? Because nowadays you see guys in the 70s completion percentage, in the high 60s, the passer ratings well over 100. And to compare those guys in this era to guys in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, and 90s, and early 2000s, especially when it comes to Hall of Fame down the road, is that something that should be a factor?
Well, you have to certainly consider it. And, what's happened with the completion percentage part of it, if you eliminate, if you take a guy like I did a couple weeks ago, somebody was asking me to grade the Lawrence kid from Clemson. And I kind of removed all the line of scrimmage, bubble screens, all those catch and throws that were, line of scrimmage or behind. And when you take those out of that, there's the real completion percentage for that you're talking about. That was Montana and Elway's and Marino's numbers. And you'll see that those are about the same as their best years when you eliminate those. But it definitely is a factor. But at the same time, I think the bottom line is with the Hall of Fame, if you win Super Bowls, and you win, they don't really care what your completion percentage was.
Well, you just mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Who do you view from the upcoming draft class as future franchise quarterbacks for potential high draft picks? And what was your take on Trevor Lawrence?
Well, Trevor Lawrence is obviously a tremendous athlete, good size and competitive as heck. When you did take those numbers out, and I don't have him sitting here in front of me because I didn't know you're going to ask me, but I want to say he was in the mid-50s or high 50s percents when you took those other ones out. And when you really look at his throw, when I really looked at his throws vertical, a lot of them were not right on the money, but his receivers are so superior to the defensive backs they were playing. They're making some unbelievable jump in high point catches and all those kind of things. Now, when you get to the National Football League, guess what? Every one of those throws got to be right on the money for you to make a completion. So I think that, I'm going to wait and see on whether he's really one of those guys or not. Just because off of what I saw, I thought that his receivers were far superior, making unbelievable catches on balls that weren't thrown right on the money. And I like the kid. There's a couple guys that I like. That are kind of down the line guys. I like the Cincinnati quarterback. He runs 4.5. He stands in the pocket. He's very accurate with the ball. I really like him. And I'd say until last week, although he's only a sophomore, I think the kid at USC is one of those guys. He takes the team down the field, leads them to – he didn't play as well last week, quarterbacks have those kind of days sometimes, but I think he's a very accurate passer and seems to be one of those guys that can take you down the field, which he's done like four times in the first four games to win the game at the end. So I really like him too.
Have you had a chance to evaluate Justin Fields from Ohio State yet?
Yeah, I have. And, he's going to be a little bit of a project, I think, but a tremendous athlete. He's not playing in an NFL type passing attack, which now, you know, Lamar has kind of opened up a whole can of worms for the National Football League with his success, not running an NFL passing game per se, running all the, you know, the read option stuff and passes off of that. So that leaves you to believe that maybe somebody builds a system for Justin Fields that way too. I watch Justin Fields when he does do drop back. He holds on to the ball awful long time, and he has athleticism to get away a lot of times. But when you get to the National Football League, if you're dropping back and you're not getting the ball out, you're waiting to see instead of anticipating the lanes. I think guys like that struggle.
We're seeing a lot of young quarterbacks come into the league more polished and ready to play. You look at Herbert, you look at Burrow before he got injured, you look at what Tua's doing, and then you look at even small sample size, but what Jalen Hurts has done in a couple games for the Eagles. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think what's happened is the passing game has become bigger in college football. You know, the same situation 20 years ago. Well, I'll give you an example. Texas, I want to say 20 to 25 years ago, did not even have a quarterback in the National Football League from the state of Texas. Wow. And, you know, when you see now all the passing leagues and all the schools that are throwing the football, everything, those numbers obviously have increased. And the quarterbacks from throwing the football have more understanding of coverages and what's happening in the back end that you have to be able to do. So they're a little bit more prepared to go to the NFL than they were when I was playing, for example. You know, you saw the rookie quarterbacks stand behind the quarterback for 3 to 5 years before they got a chance to play. Now, with the money that they're going in there to do, they get thrown in earlier. And they are a little bit more prepared. But you know, the guy that I'm really, really impressed with was Herbert from Oregon, because he did not play that type of offense at Oregon. He was a more ball control, run the ball, play action pass kind of guy. And he has picked up San Diego's offense for a rookie pretty incredible what he's doing. And, you know, they've done a fabulous job coaching him and putting him in a system and giving him the freedom to excel. I think he's one of those guys. I think he's a great one.
The biggest quarterback controversy in the NFL right now is playing out in my backyard in Philly with the Eagles and Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. What are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts and what he's been able to do in just a few starts?
Well, you know, I coached Tua at St. Louis High School his junior year, helped coach him anyway. And so I followed him at Alabama immensely. And of course, Jalen was there too, so I watched him real closely. Jalen is one of those kids that is a winner, you know, that just knows how to win. And it doesn't matter if it's high school, Alabama, Oklahoma, and now he's proving that at Philly the same way. I would say from the time he's gotten to Philly, he doesn't even look like the same quarterback that he was at Alabama. And so, you know, I think that he has developed these last two games, his throwing motion, his ability to stand in there, read, anticipate. I think he's only going to get better. I'm kind of, you know, I'll say this. I was not sure that he would. I was probably like Philly. They took him in the second round. So there's a lot of teams that weren't sure about him. And I think the chance they took looks like it's going to pay off.
Well, when you say he doesn't look like the same quarterback that you saw in college, that's got to be a credit to the coaching staff and the development, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely is. And I think I'll be honest with you, Doug Peterson, I followed since he was playing also. He played for Miles Davis in the NFL Europe, I think it was at that time, New York, New Jersey General. So I kind of followed him through Green Bay, through all the places he's been. And he's a quarterback guy. You know, he knows how to do it. And I can tell they have really worked with him on his drop, his delivery, anticipating things. And, you know, he is, to me, what a true rookie, not playing those first games, standing on the sideline, watching, and just getting better and better. And he'll only get better now that he's playing.
What do you think happened with Carson Wentz? I look at a lot of factors. I look at the offensive line being decimated, depleted by injury, a lot of young receivers. Maybe the offensive system doesn't necessarily fit his strengths. What would you do with a quarterback as talented as Carson Wentz, who was an MVP candidate 3 years ago and now is on the sideline with a huge contract?
Well, I think Carson Wentz is maybe one of those guys too. I think he just hit into a situation like you talked about, where there was a lot of disruption, a lot of things changing, and he's trying to carry the load himself in there. I watched a couple replays last night. They showed some on the television of him throwing, and guys were open, 1, 2, 3, and then he taking a sack and not hit. I think sometimes, like what I've had quarterbacks like Carson that can make all the throws, which he can do, and he can run. I mean, sometimes you got to put the let him call the plays, let him handle a little bit more. And he's not going to call something that he doesn't know or doesn't trust and doesn't understand. He's going to call plays that he knows he can get it down the field or get a completion. And sometimes you just have to change up that way with quarterbacks. I had to do that with 2 or 3 guys that I thought were struggling when I was calling the plays, but I knew they could play. And so I just said, listen, you know what? You just take it from here. And man, they boom, 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 boom. They go right down the field. And, you know, I think the reason they gave Carson all that money is because they thought he was one of those guys. And I still think he's one of those guys. And I don't think you can have too many quarterbacks. So the bottom line is the decision that Philly needs to make, to me, is to keep them both. And because you're one play away from having the other guy play anyway. So you got to have two.
Well, they've been there. They know that. They won a Super Bowl with the backup. So that's interesting. A lot of people will tell you that they're going to have to make a tough decision, move on from one. But that's going to be for them to decide after the season. June, you were coaching the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL. What's happening right now with the league? Like, are you planning on eventually going back to the XFL if it resumes?
I'm hoping that there is an XFL. I'm hoping that I will go back. I really had a lot of fun, and I thought they really had a good handle on what I thought was going to be a really productive league. Vince McMahon and Oliver Luck did a great job. Then they had their falling out, and then the COVID hit us. Now The Rock has bought it. He's got money. They've got people in place to kind of get it going. And I think, you know, they're just kind of holding to see how this COVID thing ends. I think they'll probably get started again. We'll probably hear something maybe by 1st of June. That was the timetable when we started with Vince. So I think they'll just copy that again, go back to getting draft, signing NFL cuts, and so on and so forth. And then by January next year, we'll go back to training camp in 2022.
Tell me about this run and shoot certification that you and Mouse Davis are offering. It seems to me pretty cool, an opportunity for young guys, young coaches, even veteran coaches, people to get involved and understand more about the offensive system.
Yeah, it's something that somebody brought to me. One of my receiver coaches created it and wanted me and Mouse to do something. We had never done it. We've talked to thousands of coaches, I mean, over the years, clinics, everything. But the ability to have all the video along with on the website for high school coaches, anybody that wants to learn how to throw the football, basically. Mouse is almost 90 years old, so we were able to get him, you know, videoed as well as myself. And we kind of take all the routes and all the success we've had. And it doesn't matter what it is. We got NFL stuff on there, CFL stuff, XFL stuff, college stuff. Coaches can see it. And however much their time they want to spend, they can do it. And it's high school. I've got calls from a couple of pro, actually NFL guys that have been on there already. So, you know, it's something of interest, and I'm kind of excited for it to happen. And we really kind of did it for, high school and colleges, but it's kind of funny that I'm getting calls from some pro guys.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the call how, you know, when you guys were running that offense with the 4 wides and the 5 wide, all of that stuff, that people thought you were just crazy. And now you see that's the trend in the NFL. How much similarities do you see with what you're seeing week in and week out on Sundays and with your offense?
It's kind of interesting because I see, like, I watch Buffalo play and Beasley's, I'm on texting him a lot and a couple of their coaches because they want to, Beasley keeps telling them what we were doing at SMU. And I look on the film and I see them doing some of those things and throwing touchdowns. So that's kind of refreshing for me to see. But basically pretty much everything that we have done, you know, I stole from Mouse. I stole from Bill Walsh and kind of combined the two to build what we actually are running now in the 4-wide package. But, you know, to think that we started that and now everybody's doing it and they're copying a lot of the things we did. In fact, a couple of goal line throws I saw KC do last night were concepts that we've been doing. And I'm sure they saw us doing them. And I stole a couple of things from Andy Reid, actually, because he's really refreshing the 4-wide package with all the motions and the speed of those receivers and stuff. So, you know, what goes around comes around. Everybody kind of steals from everybody. But it's fun to see that we kind of got that thing cranking from the get-go.
Well, the website for people to go to is coachtube.com. That's how they can get more information on the run and shoot certification that you and Mouse Davis are offering, and that's how they can sign up for the course. So it seems really interesting and exciting for sure. June, I want to ask you, you went through a terrible car. It was a terrible car accident. It could have taken your life. Tell me a little bit about what happened back then and why you think, like, I believe God's got a plan for all of us, and you were spared because he had a bigger purpose for your life. Tell me about that. Walk me through it.
Yeah, you know, I became a Christian when I was a teenager and kind of lived my life through faith, coaching and playing the whole time. I've been involved in pro athletes outreach. I've been involved in all kinds of Ambassadors for Christ, Youth for Christ. And, you know, I always kind of felt that why, you know, why we're on earth, what are we supposed to be doing? And I followed what I thought basically Christ wanted us to do in our lives, and that share the faith and share that commitment with other players and coaches. Now, I didn't preach to my players and coaches. I didn't do it, but I lived the life. And you know what's really interesting? I get text messages all the time from players that have played for me that are really interesting. Whenever I had a player, for example, that would have trouble off the field, it gave me an opportunity to one-on-one talk to that young man, you know, and share my faith and share what I think the direction, what he needs to do to make his life worth living. And so God provided those opportunities for me. So before that accident you were talking about, I always was that way before. But when that accident happened and I tore my aorta, and normally when you tear your aorta, you're basically dead in 15 minutes if they don't get it sewed up. And they didn't find mine for 4 hours. I was 3/4 of my aorta was torn. They cut me open. Then I went through surgery. I did everything. And then my blood pressure was still low. Well, they went back in. They saw it. They flipped me over, cut me open. My back went in and fixed it. Now, why did God allow me to live 4 hours before they found my aorta? And my legs still don't work real good. The doctor told me in the hospital when I woke up out of a coma after about 2.5 weeks, I couldn't move my legs. And he said, Coach, he said, I hate to tell you this, but you're probably going to be paralyzed the rest of your life from the waist down. Because if we don't find that aorta tear, the blood flow to your legs paralyzes the person for the rest, even if he survives. Well, I kind of just refused to do that. So while I was going through all that, I'm going, now, why did God allow me to live? And Princess Diane and other people that had that accident die. And so I think I became a little bit more focused on the things that we just talked about. My relationship with the players, sharing my faith a little bit differently And that's what I do. And I feel that's why God allowed me to live and why I'm coaching football. You know, the touchdowns go away. The scores go away. But those kids and those friends and those relationships you have, they're forever. And, you know, that's why it's kind of refreshing to me all the time to get those text messages from kids. And I've kind of started to save them because some of them are pretty heartwarming and pretty touching, you know. But that's kind of why how I feel about my faith and why God allows me to be a football coach.
Well, that's an incredible testimony, Coach. And people can follow you on Twitter at Coach June Jones. As I was looking, I saw maybe a couple of weeks ago you shared a beautiful song, Hallelujah. Love that song. Love that rendition that you shared. What does that song mean to you when you hear that?
Well, that's funny you asked that. I first heard that song when I was in Dallas. And then when I came back to Hawaii, one of my good friends who just passed away, Willie Kay, was the one that you watched. His rendition of it, I think, was the one I had put on Twitter. He was amazing. And that song, obviously, is not a Christian-based song, but at the same time, just the hallelujahs get me. And, you know, I love music, I think more so. Since my accident, I enjoy listening to music more than ever before. And that song really has blown me away for about 10 or 15 years.
Is there worship music, anything specific that you like to listen to? Any specific artists or?
Yeah, there is. You know, Amy Grant, and she married Vince Gill. And I love, you know, he's become a Christian. And I really like listening to him quite a bit.
Any Bible verses that resonate with you? Anything specific? I you know, people, it's a tough question because sometimes it depends on the season of your life, but is there one that you always go back to?
Because there's been one that I have always claimed and believe. You know, everybody, in fact, you probably even said, you know, when you watch me coach or watch me play, that you seem to be really calm and really, you know, peace on the sideline. You know, you're not, except every once in a while when a referee makes a bad call, I kind of... But basically, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, which has, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ. And, you know, what I like about that is that it basically says you can ask God for anything. He wants you to tell him your wants. So if you have something that is really bothering you, tell him specifically what you want out of that situation. And he promises you that he will grant you the peace of God. Now, you don't care if you have the peace of God, you don't care if you get what you want or not. You can move on through that situation that's really upsetting to you. And it doesn't matter if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend thing. I pray to win. I pray every game to win with my team, to win the game, to do so that we can play with the peace of God, that we prepare ourselves, we go out and do it, and we're not going to choke because we're having anxiety or nervous about anything. And I've claimed that verse my whole life, and that's probably the one great thing I can always share with people. Because I've had so many things that have happened that way.
Thank you so much for your time. I wish you and your family a happy and blessed new year.
Same to you.
That was longtime football coach June Jones. This is Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Caron University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Caron is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Caron is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at caron.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages. If you want to be involved with 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, all 3 radio stations, our podcast, our social media, whatever, we can do it. We can also, we post a lot of videos on our of our interviews. So there's a ton of different ways that you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow our ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we have a donate button on our page at faithonafieldshow.com. And you can also help our ministry by purchasing some of our new merchandise that we talked about earlier through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel. We have the t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks. There's so much there. My Story, His Glory, Helmet of Salvation shirts, everything. He's Greater Than Me. You can find it there. Check it out on our site and our social media. I want to thank June Jones for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work for Faith on the Field Show. Pastor Scott produced 2 awesome year-end videos. Check out our Top 10 Moments video. We have that up. Thank you also to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio for airing Faith on the Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.